The popularity of Jesus has now grown to the extent that he has difficulty moving around, especially in the area of Capernaum. Because of the fame that had been spread concerning healings and miracles and all, whenever Jesus would go anywhere, there would be crowds of people thronging about him. And we are impressed with the words throng and press, the press of the crowd as they thronged about him. And of course, in our minds, it's easy for us to picture this pushing, shoving, jostling crowd. Now, Jesus had just been over to the other side of the lake, to the area of Gennesaret, where there was a man who was driven by his affliction away from the community of mankind. He lived out among the tombs. He was possessed and controlled by evil spirits. And under their control, he had supernatural strength so that they were not even able to bind him with chains. This man lived a miserable existence. He would weep and wail, and he would take rocks and lacerate his body with them. And when Jesus came, he commanded the unclean spirits to come out of that man. And he allowed them the permission to go into a herd of swine, which when the unclean spirits entered among them, they rushed down a steep place and were drowned in the Sea of Galilee. So the swineherders went into the village of Gennesaret and told the people what had happened. And the leaders came out and they begged Jesus to go away, to leave their area. They were more concerned with their swine than the need of an unfortunate man. And so Jesus got in the ship and returned to the area of Capernaum, where he was welcomed. And immediately the crowd gathered around him. And through the crowd, there was a man who was desperately pushing his way toward Jesus. In spite of the fact that there was a multitude crowded around him, this man was determined to get to Jesus. For lying at home, he had a little 12-year-old daughter that was dying. She was so far gone that they at this point had only one hope. And that is that somehow, some way, Jesus might perform a miracle and heal her. He was a ruler in the synagogue. He probably was involved in the controversy that had taken place just a few Sabbath days ago. When Jesus came into that synagogue in Capernaum and healed the man with a withered hand and had created such a stir, he perhaps was a part of the controversy. But things are different now. It's his own little daughter, and there's no other hope. And so he comes against prejudice to Jesus in order that he might receive help. He comes in spite of the difficulty of making his way through that pushing crowd. Desperation will cause you to do unusual things. And it was unusual for him in his position to make his way to Jesus. When he finally came face to face with Jesus, he laid out his request. He asked Jesus to come to his home where his little daughter was dying and just touch her and she will be healed. You know, I think that you can get to a person probably through their children more than any other way. I may be doing something and you come to me and say, Chuck, you shouldn't be doing that. And I say, why? And you answer, that could harm you. And I'll say, get out of my way. You're stopping me from what I want to do. You come to me and say, Chuck, you shouldn't do that. I say, why? You say, you've got two sons there that are watching their dad, and they're going to be walking in his steps. Hey, you've beat me. You've mastered me. I'm whipped. Because though I may not care the consequences that come to me from my actions, I'm very concerned in the example I set before my boys. I don't want to bring harm to them. I don't want to bring hurt to them. This little girl was about 12 years old. We are told in Luke's gospel that she was the only daughter. The only daughter, about 12 years old, and now she is dying. No doubt, being the only daughter, she had brought sunshine, joy and light into that home, as only little girls can do. Oh, what sunshine and light our daughters have brought into our lives and into our home. Little girls are so special, especially for their dads, and they bring such sunshine and joy. In fact, our younger daughter brought such joy and blessing that we called her Sunshine, just between ourselves, my wife and I, because she was just a ray of sunshine and continues to be even to the present day, even though she's a grown-up lady and has her own family. But our daughters, both of them, how we cherish them and how we thank God for them. And you know, nothing got to me more than to see my own children suffering. I mean, that could get to me more than anything else. To see them sick, realize how miserable they were, watch them thresh the bed with their fever, and I would just be in absolute agony. I would cry out to God, God, lay it upon me twice as hard if you need to, but Lord, spare my little girls. They don't understand what suffering is about. Oh God, and it just would so get to me when anything would happen to my children. I could 1,000 times wish it happened to me rather than to them. And so here was a family basking in the sunshine and the joy of this little girl for 12 years. But she's dying. The brightness is gone out of her eyes. The breath is labored and heavy. And they realize, as she is getting weaker by the moment, that they have only one hope. That's Jesus. Man has done all that he could do, and she's dying. There's only one hope. Find Jesus. And the mother stays where she should be, by the side of her little girl, while the dad, torn between his desire to be by her side, but the need of finding Jesus, leaves her side and searches through the city until he finds a crowd of people. And Jesus, in the middle of the crowd, But he is not deterred by the crowd. He pushes, shoves, makes his way through the crowd until he's standing face to face with Jesus. And he begs, he pleads that Jesus might come to his house. Touch my little girl, and she will be healed. And so Jesus, with Jairus, and with the crowd still pressing and pushing and shoving, started moving towards the house of Jairus. And as he does, suddenly he stops. I imagine that Jairus at this point is tempted to take him by the arm and say, "Lord, don't stop. Hurry, please, hurry. It's desperate. You don't know how desperate it is." And he stops and says something that seems, at this point, rather foolish. He said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples thought it was foolish too, and they said, "Lord, you've got to be kidding. The way all of these people are shoving and pushing around us, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I felt healing going out of my body." For there was also in that crowd of people another one who had pushed and shoved until she could get close enough to touch. She was a woman who for 12 years had had a horrible plague. She had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. According to the Jewish law, her husband must divorce her. He cannot touch her as long as she is hemorrhaging. According to Jewish law, she has to be separated from society, even that of her own family. She, according to the law, is unclean because of the hemorrhaging, and everything she touches becomes unclean, and if you touch anything that she has touched, you yourself become unclean, so she becomes totally isolated from society around her. Also, because of this plague, she cannot come into the house of God to worship, because again of this uncleanness, she is not allowed within the place of worship. And so as the result of this plague, she's been totally ostracized from her family, from society, and from the worship of God. And this has gone on for 12 years. She has taken her wealth and has gone to doctors and has sought every cure, and now her money is gone and she is not any better. In fact, she's in worse condition. She has only one hope at this point. "I've got to get to Jesus." And somehow she knew, "If I can just but touch him, I'll be healed of this plague." And so through the crowd, two people coming. One, a father who had been enjoying the sunlight and the beauty of his little daughter for 12 years, but was faced with that despair of this light that had been shining in his life was going out. It was flickering and about to die. And driven by desperation, he is coming through the crowd to Jesus. The other, oh, it's harder for her to get through the crowd because of this loss of blood, the anemia. It's just an effort to get out of bed in the morning, and any movement is just a pressure and a strain. But yet, weakened as she is, she's making her way through the crowd, driven by her own desperation, knowing that if I don't touch him, I'm gone. And she had been living in a shadow for 12 years. Just about the time the little girl was born to Jairus and his wife, this woman became afflicted with this plague. One was in sunlight for 12 years, but the light was about to go out. The other had been in darkness for 12 years. But there was a hope that the light might shine if I can just but touch him. And so she made her way through the crowd, up behind him, in the press of people, until she finally got close enough and she reached out and touched him. Now, the Greek word isn't a touch like, you know, all right. The word in Greek is grasp or clutched. Desperate. She reached out and she grabbed his robe. And the moment she grabbed hold of it, she felt something happen inside. She could feel it. It went through her. The hemorrhaging ceased, and she was healed. But then Jesus stopped and he said, "Who touched me?" And fear came into her heart. But as the disciples began to argue with him, saying, "What do you mean, who touched you?" Everybody's pushing and shoving. She probably felt relieved. But Jesus continued, "No, someone has touched me," and he was looking in the crowd to see her. And she, realizing that she could not hold the secret from him, came and knelt before him and told him all. She told what she had done. She told what was in her heart. She told of her condition. And Jesus said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Be whole of your plague." You see, her touch was the touch of faith. Faith, many times, is a rather vague, ambiguous thing in our lives. Oh, I know God can do it. I know the Lord is able. Oh, I'm certain that God can do it. But there's a difference between being certain that God can do it and believing that God is doing it right this moment. And sometimes our faith needs to go from a passive, "Oh, yes, God can surely do it," to a very active, "God is doing it now." Sometimes we need that point where we release our faith. And this woman in her mind had set a point where she was going to release her faith. "I know that the very moment that I touch him, I'm going to be healed." And so there was a point where she was going to release her faith and be healed. So all the while, as she was pushing through the crowd, struggling, endeavoring to get close enough to Jesus to reach out and touch him, her anticipation was building as she was getting closer. Until she finally came within reach, and she reached out and grabbed, and the moment she grabbed hold, she released her faith. "All right, now." And as she released her faith, she was touched by the power of God, and in that moment was healed. But notice Jesus said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole of thy plague." She had faith. She released her faith. And the moment she released her faith, she was made whole of that plague. There is a value in setting a point at which I'm going to release my faith. There is a value in coming to have the elders lay hands on you. that it might give you a point to release your faith. I know that as they lay hands on me and pray for me, God is going to heal me. And it takes faith from this vague, ambiguous state into an active, now kind of a situation. And sometimes this is important, that faith no longer just be a passive acknowledgement that God can, but an active, I'm receiving it now, this moment, I'm receiving it now. Notice that Jesus was being pressed by the crowd. Multitudes were thronging around him. But with all of the multitudes that were pushing, shoving, thronging around him, one woman in the crowd touched him. The flesh oftentimes presses, but faith touches. As we have gathered here this morning, there will be some among the crowd who will be different from the crowd, because in this day, they will touch him with that touch of faith. It could be you, if you are in need. Now, in the third chapter of Mark's Gospel, verse 10, we read that many people were doing this. Many people were touching him in order to be whole of their plagues. It had become a common practice, and that must have been difficult for Jesus in trying to get anywhere, to have people reach out and grabbing you. It would be easy to get irritated at that kind of stuff, because as they're grabbing for your robe, it could be they get a bit of flesh with it too, you know. And going through a crowd, being pushed, shoved, grabbed at, must have been extremely taxing. Why would he stop when it's being done all of the time? Why would he stop this time and call attention to it? This was a common practice. People were doing it all the time, reaching out and grabbing him in order to be healed. Why would he stop at this one to call attention to it? I'm certain the reason why he did it was for the sake of Jairus. And though Jairus at first was probably annoyed that Jesus would stop because of his own urgency, Jesus knew what Jairus didn't know. Jesus knew that at home, his little daughter had already died. And Jesus knew that there were messengers, servants, that were on their way right then to inform him that his daughter was dead. Maybe he saw them at the edge of the crowd and he realized that Jairus was soon to receive that news, your little daughter is dead. And while Jesus was saying to this woman, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace, be whole of your plague, they were saying to Jairus, don't bother the master anymore, your little daughter died. And Jairus, no doubt, turned to Jesus. His face ashen, drained, the hope now gone. It's too late. His final hope, if I can just get Jesus there to touch her, she'll be healed. But now the light has really gone out. It's too late. And Jesus said to him, he said to the woman, "Go in peace, thy faith hath made thee whole of thy plague." And then he turned to Jairus and he said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And he continued to Jairus' house, but he told the crowd, "All right, you stay here, that's far enough." And he took Peter, James, and John, and they with Jairus went on to the house of Jairus. And as they came to the house, already the wailers had been waiting. When someone was dying, they would begin to assemble. And when death came, they would begin that horrible wailing, that, oh, just eerie, awesome wailing cry that they would do for the dead. A part of their culture was to show your grief for your loved one and how much you were in love with your deceased by the amount of wailing, the loudness of the wailing, and the amount of wailing would indicate the depth of your love and all for the deceased. And so there were people who were especially skilled at wailing, and you would hire them to come and to wail for you in order that the whole neighborhood might know how deep you feel for your loss. And so already as Jesus came up the block, they could hear the wailing, the screaming, and these sounds that the people would make to show this deep grief that was being felt by the members of the family. And as Jesus came to the house, he said, "What's all of the commotion about? She's not dead, she's only sleeping." And they changed from their wailing to scornful laughter of Jesus. And he said, "Oh, get them out of here." And they put them out. And he took the mother, the father, and the three disciples, and they went into the little girl's room. And Jesus spoke to her in Aramaic. Jesus, no doubt, spoke Greek most of the time because it was really the language that was understood universally by the Romans, the Jews, and by all the people. But Aramaic was the common family language. And that is why Mark gives us the Aramaic and then interprets it into Greek for us, which is being interpreted. Jesus in Aramaic said to her, "Talitha kumi." And Mark interprets it, or actually the King James interpreters interpret Mark's Greek as saying, "Daughter, I say unto thee, arise." Talitha kumi in Aramaic more literally is, "My little lamb, arise." Spoke to her with such endearing terms as he looked at that beautiful little form. As he saw the grief and the agony in the eyes of the mother and father, turning to that little form, he said, "Oh, my little lamb, arise." And she stood up and walked to her parents. And Jesus said, "You better give her something to eat." Through the touch of Jesus, the light was rekindled. Two people pressing through the crowd to get to Jesus, both driven by desperation, both being drawn because he was the last resort. The last hope. One seeking to touch him, the other seeking that he would touch the little girl. Both of them receiving through the touch of Jesus. Today, It may be that you are being driven by desperation. There may be some people that would even put you down and say, well, yeah, last resort, go to Jesus, big deal. Listen, he doesn't care. He loves you so much and desires to help you so much, he doesn't care if he's the last resort. He doesn't care if you've tried everything else and have failed. He loves you so much. He just wants you to come. He wants to touch you. He wants you to know that he is touchable. And he wants to help you today. Maybe you've been plagued by some ill spirit or temper that has actually driven you from your family, driven you from your friends, has kept you away from God. And this has been a blighting thing in your life and has just destroyed so much around you. And you've tried so hard to be free. You've gone to psychologists, you've been everywhere, but you're not any better. It's still there. Oh, listen, listen. If you'll just touch him, you can be made whole. You can be restored. You can be healed today. Maybe it seems there's no hope. Maybe the light has gone out. Maybe it's just the end of the road, you think, and there's nothing left. Oh, if he'll just but touch you, that's all you need. He can restore the light and bring life again. The touch of faith. Our faith or his. If I don't have enough, he does. With the woman, it was her faith. With the little girl, it was his faith. And wherever we're lacking in faith, he'll make it up. The thing is just to reach out to touch Jesus. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, that you are in reach of every man. And while we've gathered with the multitude today, to crowd around you, to hear your word, to learn of thee. Help those, Lord, today who have been drawn by their desperate needs. And may they reach out and touch you, and thus be touched by your love and by your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if you feel a special need in your life of really touching the Lord, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. The pastors will be back there to minister to you and to pray with you and to bring you into touch with his love and with his power. May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord bless your life and guide you through this week. In Jesus' name.